day. His messiahship, his personhood in Christ was all wrapped up in his death and resurrection. That's what he was all about, really. And then Jesus goes on to say that our identity with him as his followers, as his disciples, really means the same thing. For Jesus went on to say in verse 23, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life, he said, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus is saying the same thing that I am going to go through in being rejected, suffering, and death and resurrection is what you, as a disciple of Jesus, must be ready for as well. Today, there are people that look at Jesus in a lot of different ways. Some see him as a good teacher. Some see him as a misunderstood figure of history. Some see him as a great leader of men. Some see him as a deceiver, as a myth. Others see him as God. I think the whole confusion about who Jesus is really rests in his death. It really does. You see, until the crucifixion, he was known as a miracle worker, a teacher of truth, a comfort to the afflicted, a guide to the lost, a friend to the friendless, a healer of the sick. And as some even pointed out, he was like God. Even on the Sunday prior to his death, as crowds gathered to see him, they proclaimed him as King and Lord. And the people shouted for joy, and they expected great things from this miracle worker from Nazareth. And then he died. And not only did he die, but he suffered the humiliating and shameful death of the cross. He died as a condemned criminal with other criminals. So what does his death mean? What are we to make of Jesus' death? I think a good place to look for the meaning of Jesus' death is in John chapter 12. Hopefully you have found that in your Bibles. John chapter 12. This story begins in verse 20 with some Greeks who, as it says, came to worship at the feast. Now these Greeks were obviously not Jewish people, but they were Gentiles who had come up to worship with the Jews at the feast, and the feast was the Passover feast. Because if you go back a little further in chapter 12, you'll see that the beginning of this chapter, Jesus, you know, comes into Jerusalem, and he is there for the Passover feast. And so here are these Greeks. They have come there and they find a guy named Philip. Now, Philip was one of the 12. He was one of the apostles, one of those that Jesus had chosen, whom Jesus had sent out, one of the 12 who had spent 3 years with Jesus. It's interesting to note that Philip is the only one of the 12 whose name was a Greek name, Philip. All the others had Jewish names, except Philip. And the Greeks came to guess who? Philip. You know, maybe they saw that, recognized that. Maybe he had some tendencies towards the Greek culture and that, or certainly he must have spoken Greek. or his parents did. And so he had learned that. And so these Greeks come to Philip and they ask this. They say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." In verse 21, "We wish to see Jesus." And the word "wish to see" really means we wish to have an interview with. We want to talk to Jesus. And Philip, it says, took them to Andrew, Peter's brother, and the two of them together brought these Greeks to Jesus. Now, when they have done that, you wonder, well, is Jesus going to sit down and talk with these Greeks? You know, does he show himself to them? They said, "We want to see Jesus." Are they going to be able to see Jesus? Well, in a way, they do. In the same way, I think that Jesus shows himself to us. He shows himself to these Greeks with truth about himself that becomes a truth about us. Listen to that again. He reveals himself to these Greeks with a truth about himself that also becomes a truth for those who follow Jesus, who are his disciples. He gives truth about himself, and it becomes a truth about us. Listen to Jesus' answer. Verse 23, "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Also, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus begins this by saying, "Now the hour has come that the Son of Man be glorified." And he ends this by saying, "Father, glorify your name." Jesus is going to talk about how he is going to be glorified. How God is going to show his glory through Jesus. And what does he begin to talk about in the middle of that statement? He begins to talk about his death. He begins to talk about dying. He says, he talks about a grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying. And there he makes this truth about himself and a truth about his followers. Will we die like Jesus that we might live? Will we hate our lives in this world that we might find true life in the next world? Will we follow him on his path to Calvary? Will we serve the Son? Will we let the truth about the Son of Man become the truth about us? Here are some truths about Jesus that must become truths about us. And I want us to really think about these as we prepare for the Lord's Supper today. Is this true about me? Because it's true about Jesus, who is my Lord. And here's the first one. Life comes through death. Life comes through death. Jesus said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Jesus' death was planned by God. Did you know that? It was his path to glory. He says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified." Jesus speaks about being glorified, and then in the very same breath, he speaks about death. His death. the cross was always on God's agenda. From the very moment that God created the heavens and the earth, even before that. The book of Revelation talks about Jesus as the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. The cross was always on the heart of God. Jesus was always to be the one who would give His life for us. Jesus' death was planned by God. Jesus' death was for others, not for Himself. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces what? Much grain." Jesus uses this agricultural illustration. It's a picture that we can grasp. Anybody who has grown a garden or tried to grow anything knows that you cannot grow a seed if it simply sits there on the table. You have to bury it. You have to put it in the ground where it is going to get water, where it's going to be warmed up by the sunshine, where it's going to get the nutrients from the soil, and then that seed will germinate and begin to grow. And he says, and if it grows, it produces a stalk, and it will produce much grain from one seed. We must bury it and leave the seed there. You know, if you bury a seed and then you dig it up every day to see if it's growing, is that going to be a good way to grow something? Not at all, is it? If you bury it, you need to bury it and leave it there. It's only when we bury it, when it dies, that it can live. The seed is abandoned to death. Only then can we make the harvest possible. And so Jesus died to produce much fruit. The fruit of men and women who would be drawn to Him. A few verses later, if you look down to verse 32, Jesus says this, "I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to Myself." And then John gives us his commentary in verse 33. He says, "And He said this, signifying by what death He would die." Jesus is talking about His death. So that if He dies, He will produce much fruit. And what is the much fruit? Drawing people to Himself. That we could know God. That we could have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. That's the much fruit. Now, Jesus did not die for Himself. He died for you. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." In Luke 22:19, as Jesus is there with His disciples in that upper room on the night that He was betrayed, He took bread and He gave thanks for it, and He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you." Do you hear it? He did not die for Himself. He died for you. In the same way, he took the cup. And He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for you." John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Not for Himself, for the sheep. Do you get the idea? Jesus' death was so that you could have life. Life comes through death. He died so that you could live. Jesus died to give you life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Jesus said His death was to bring you life. So for Jesus, death becomes life. And for us, it must be as well. To be a follower of Jesus means to die. We looked at that a couple weeks ago when we talked about what it meant to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily. That means to be willing to die to yourself that you might live to Jesus. To take up your cross. He says it's a daily thing. You know, when you came to Jesus Christ, your old life was put to death. You died with Christ. You were crucified with Him. But it's also not just a once-for-all thing, although it begins with a once-for-all thing when you trust in Jesus Christ. But then it also becomes a daily thing where we must take off this old life, set aside the old life, die to our old selves so that we might live to Jesus. Life comes through death. Here's the second thing that we see that is a truth about Jesus that is also a truth about us who follow Jesus. And that is this: to lose in this life is to gain in eternal life. Jesus said in verse 25, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus gave up His life unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that therefore God has exalted Him and given Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, because Jesus was willing to go to death, even the death on the cross, that shameful and painful death, where He took all of the sin of all of the world, because He did that, He was highly exalted and honored as the Son of God, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, Jesus. And it's the same teaching there that we learned in Luke 9:24, wasn't it? Where He said, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it," will save it. The truth is that we lose everything we associate with this in this life at some point in time. Think about it. It's just a matter of time. We can't hold on to our youth forever. No matter how hard we try, no matter how well we eat, and it's important to eat well, you know, and to eat the right things, take care of our bodies, to exercise, to get plenty of rest. But no matter how well you take care of your body, eventually you're going to lose your youth. And some of us are beginning to experience that, some more than others, you know. But you realize you can't hold on to that forever. We can't hold on to our athletic ability. Of course, some of us never had it to begin with. But we can't hold on to our mental capacity. We can't even hold on to our loved ones as they begin to go the way of death. It's just a matter of time. Jesus tells us, don't wait. Start now. Don't wait to lose all of that at the end of your life. Don't wait until that person dies to give them up. He says, do it now. Give it up today that you can find true life in Jesus. Don't focus on grabbing and getting what you can get from this world, because all of that you will lose. If instead you lose all of that and find Jesus, you found everything. You found eternal life. Corrie Ten Boom said this, "I have learned to hold all things loosely, so that God will not have to pry them out of my hands." I like that. Third truth that we see about Jesus that also becomes a truth about us is this: honor comes through service. Honor comes through service. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Jesus became a servant, willing to do whatever was necessary in order to move men and women, to bring people to a saving knowledge of himself. In the very next chapter, John chapter 13, we see Jesus do whatever it took out of love to serve and to set an example for his disciples. It tells us in John 13 that having loved those who were his own, he loved them to the very end. He showed them the full extent of his love. And how did he do that? He got down on his knees with a basin of water, with a towel wrapped around his waist, and he washed the dusty, dirty feet of his disciples. And he said, "You know what I've done for you? I have served." He said, "Do the same thing for each other." That's the way we see Jesus. And that's the way we show Jesus. He reveals himself to us as a person who serves, who loves, who gives his own life. And then he says, "Follow me. Die with me. Hate your life in this world with me. Serve me." And if we do those things, then we show that Jesus Christ is living in us, that we know him. The way, you see, Jesus wants to show himself to people. He said, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself." And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it by our becoming like him in his death, so that others could see his life through us. A little poem that's called "When I Met the Master." Listen to this. "I had walked life's path with an easy tread. I had followed where comforts and pleasures led, until one day in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body and none for my soul, I had entered to win life's mad race, till I met the Master face to face. Met him and knew him, and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day, and as my castles melted and vanished away, melted and vanished, and in their place naught else could I see but my Master's face. And I cried, 'O Lord, please make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet.' And my thought is now for the souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again. Ever since that day, in a quiet place, I met my Master face to face." Have you met Jesus face to face? Jesus says, "If you want to see me, You see, those Greeks came to see Jesus, didn't they? We want to see you, Jesus. He says, this is me. I'm like a grain of wheat that's buried and dies and produces much fruit. I give my life unto death that I might give eternal life to others. This is who Jesus is. Jesus says, if you want to see me, be prepared to be like me. This is what happens. Do you really mean it today if you were to say, I want to see Jesus? Do we mean it today if we say, I want to see Jesus today? Jesus says, if you mean it, if you really want to see me, be prepared to be like me. Prepare to follow on the road to where I am going. Prepare to die. Then you'll find life. Prepare to lose in this life, and you will gain eternal life. Prepare to serve, and you will be honored. So as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, we prepare to die because Jesus died. We remember His death and His resurrection this morning. And as we do that, we want to make it real in our hearts today by again, afresh and anew, dying with Him and letting Him live through us. What I'm asking myself and what I'm asking you to think about as we come to the table this morning is this. One, is there something God is calling me to die to? That I might experience more fully my position in Christ and I might see Christ more clearly and show Him more compellingly. Is there something in my life to which God says, today you must die? Second is this. Am I striving against my very nature as a Christian by trying to keep alive something that God has sentenced to death in Christ? Are my weaknesses as a father or a husband or a witness allowing something that needs to die in me to go on living? Some old habit, some secret sin, some pride, some fear of looking silly or some desperate need for approval, some desire for wealth. Is there something in me that needs to die today? So that Jesus can live more fully and completely through me. That's where we come to His table, examining ourselves. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. As we pray this morning, I want you, as you're bowing your head and closing your eyes, that you would be open and honest with God. And respond accordingly. Father, we thank You for the message You brought us today of who Jesus is and who we are to be in Him. We have seen these truths about Jesus and how they are to be truths about us as well. And Father, we pray today that as we come to Your table, if there is something in me that needs to die so that Jesus might live more fully and completely through me, God, show that to me right now. As we confess our sins openly and honestly before You, God. thank you for your promise that through the blood of Jesus, our sins are washed away. And we have the forgiveness. And we have everlasting life. And Father, we pray that as we have this invitation time, God, that you continue to speak to our hearts, draw us to yourself, and prepare us to celebrate in remembering the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 275. As the Lord speaks to your heart today, if you need to make a decision for Him to trust Jesus, to die to yourself that you might live to Jesus, would you do that today? Maybe Christians, there's something, like we said, that something that needs to die in me so that Jesus might more fully live through me. And we need to get that right before we come to His table today. You make that decision. Maybe you want to share it with me. I'll pray with you through that. But you make that decision as we sing. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him. Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in the same way, after supper, Jesus had taken the cup. And having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, he says, which is given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. We know that because Jesus died for us, our sins are washed away in his blood. And what a joy it is to remember that, not just once, but every day. And this is our way of remembering today, especially. It's a way of giving thanks. And so I'm going to ask that, Howard, would you lead us in prayer of thanks for the cup today? Amen. Take and drink. This is the blood of Jesus Christ, as he said, his cup. If we die with him, we will also live with him. Father, we give you thanks. What a joy it has been to die with you, because we find that just as Jesus Christ was glorified in his death, you are glorified again when we die, so that you could live through us. And so, Father, live through your church today. As we have worshiped you, now send us out, God, into this world to be a people who demonstrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the way that we live, the way that we give up our life in this world, because you have given us life in the next world. The way that we serve, so that you would be honored in our lives. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some announcements this morning, brother.